salvation today. Is anybody saved in the house of God? Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because you have been really good to us. So we want to take this time out to just praise you, to lift you up, to magnify your name, because you are worthy to be praised. And we're super excited about you today. And we just want you to have your way as we go forward with power. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people agree, say, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to see everyone. Good to see everyone. And those who are joining us on YouTube, on the television, watching online, and listening on the radio, we welcome everyone to Jesus Dear Ministries. Good to see everyone. So we have a first timer here today, Sister Celinda. Welcome. I give her a round of applause. All right. To God be the glory. And I got my brother and sister all the way from Orlando, Sister Peter in the house. Give them a round of applause. All right. To God be the glory. And give yourself a round of applause. All right. And Selena convinced her husband today to God be the glory. Give him a round of applause. In the house. All right. My microphone seems like it goes in and out. My battery's gone. We don't want nothing done. We want everything to live. So we'll do this real quickness. Glory be to God. Listen, regarding the baptism, June 26th, I know there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, yeah, I've never been baptized yet, but, you know, I'll do it one day. Well, if you can, you should. I've heard people say, but I don't want to get my hair wet. That's why they make hair dryers. You know, baptism is important. You know, we want to do what Jesus did. He was baptized. And, you know, John said to him, you know, you should be baptized in me. And he said, no, these things must be done to show as an example. You know, so it's a public proclamation of what we decide to do internally. We decide to follow Christ Jesus. So when we get baptized, we're showing the whole world that, hey, I'm going to do my best to follow him. Are you going to be perfect? No, sometimes you still, you know, there are many Christian goobers out there who make mistakes, but you ask God to forgive you and you move on. You do the best you can to serve him. And he's looking for a heart that's willing to serve him and to walk uprightly. He does not call the equipped. He equips those who he calls. All right? So at this time, while they're getting the battery ready, Deacon Steve have Bibles and pens. If you need a Bible and a pen to follow, take notes in the back of your bulletin, just put your hand up. It will gladly give you a Bible. Over here, I see a hand up. There's a couple of hands up over there, Deacon, so that we can, everyone can follow along. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, you just came to the right church today. God, we got something to talk about. Everyone got their Bible, got their pens. Anyone need a cup of coffee? Dunkin' Donuts is right across the street. I know you're going too crazy. All right, but we are about to jump into a word as leads. So join me in a word of prayer. Now, remember, you got your families, a lot of them on vacation, traveling this week, like the early family and other people are traveling. Keep your family members in prayer rough out there on the road. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father and our God, we thank you once again for who you are and all that you have done and all that you're doing even now. As we embark on today's study, I pray that your Holy Spirit will teach us all things, and that everyone listening to the sound of my voice will hear what your Spirit is saying and be forever changed for the better, having a better understanding of your word and ultimately a closer walk with you. So be glorified now, Father, as we look to you to teach us all things. We ask and believe by faith in Jesus' name. All of God's people say, amen and amen. Our topic for today is, are you a slave set free? If not, we invite you to join our family. I'll say it one more again. Are you a slave set free? If not, we invite you to join our royal family. I got one, praise God. All right, we'll try this. We'll see if someone can get this. You know, it is a proven fact that people who don't know their spiritual identity don't know how to act. The people that don't know their spiritual identity don't know how to act. If someone is financially wealthy, they won't walk around dirty and half naked looking for food in a garbage bin because they're wealthy and they know they're wealthy. Unless they have no idea that they have some money. The same is true when someone is spiritually wealthy and set free from the slavery of sin, but keep on sinning, not realizing what Satan, sin's master, or sin's slave master, is doing. Satan is a sin slave master. Oh, the service must really going to be good today. Because having some technical difficulty, the devil don't want somebody to hear this. Let me hear somebody say, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now I'm even more pumped up. Yes, devil, you are sin's slave master. And we're going to reveal some things that that demon has been doing today. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. It's got people bound for too long. Romans chapter 6. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's mad about it, but I'm glad about it. Because we have the victory in Jesus. Ooh, yeah. All right, Romans 6, starting in verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Hold on a second. So you're saying when we decide, especially publicly, to live for God, we should try our very best to really live for him? That's all he's saying here. Yes. Your key point number one, write it down this way, as the Spirit of God gave me to write. Everyone who went to the watery grave should stop living in sin and behave. Simple enough. Everyone who went to the watery grave should stop living in sin and behave. The problem is people love their sin because they choose to be a slave to sin. They love, let's say, for instance, you have a cursing issue. You love to curse somebody out. You're a slave to cursing. So every time you open your mouth and say, you... XX, black knight, explanation, I mean, whatever, you're a slave to that. That controls your mind. Every time you want to get angry, every time you want to steal, every time you want to do anything that you know is wrong and is sinful, and you don't care, I'm going to do it anyways. You're a slave to it. Some people are a slave to eating. They just can't put the fork down. And if you take the fork from them, they grab the chicken leg by the drumstick. Like, I'm eating it anyway. That's a problem. If you're full, stop eating. We've all been guilty of it. Oh, it's just a quarter of the food left. I don't want to take this home. Or I don't want to save it till tomorrow. I can finish it up. You're greedy. And the size of your stomach is about this big. The plate that you're eating is about this big. So you keep pushing, pushing. Then you wonder why you feel uncomfortable. Let's do things in moderation. Let's not sin against the temple of God anymore by the things that we do. And I know I use some examples that people can relate to because we eat every day, judging by the way how healthy you guys look. And we also, you know, get upset sometimes and say some things that we ought not to say. So we want to check that. We want to remember that we have a sin slave master. His name is Satan. The evil one. The one who's trying so hard to cause us to lose the blessing and the favor from God. That's what he does. He does everything possible to rip our blessing apart from God. Here's how it works. God cannot bless a mess. So every time we want to walk with God, straighten our path, and we're going to our blessing, and Satan sees, oh man, God is about to bless that person in a huge way. He's like, what can I do to trip him up or trip her up? What can I do? And you say, I know, I'll let someone aggravate him. I will let someone step on her toe the wrong way. Something. And then, boom, you fly off the deep end. And Satan sits back and do the Scooby-Doo laugh at you. Don't give him that justification. Don't let him laugh behind your back. And is what he does. All right, so now, let's continue Romans chapter 6. We're down in verse 5. Since you have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves, those two S's got me just now. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. We're going to have to get another microphone, man. This is driving me crazy. Yeah, bring another one. Yeah. Okay. When he died to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. That is powerful to me. That lets me know that even though sin will present itself, not a day goes by that sin won't present itself to us. Every day we're going to be tempted to sin. Every day we're tempted to tell a lie, to curse somebody, to do something explicit that we know we're not supposed to be doing. We are tempted every day. Now, whether or not we choose to give in to that, it's all unto us, or upon, unto us if we decide we want to do it or not. Most people who get these scriptures and realize that the more one sin, the more they lose their blessings, they will say, I ain't going out like that. Can't do it because I want my blessings. And as a man, we know one of the biggest challenges for man is woman, right? Because women are beautiful and they're all over the place. And some of them don't wear much clothing. So man, we're very visual, so we see everything, you know? And I tell the leaders, especially in Jesus' team, we got to be extra careful because the enemy wants man of God to fall that way. So we got to train our eyes and say, okay, not going to lust. Like Job 31 verse 1 said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. That's something that we have to do as men. Now, women lust as well. They're just more inconspicuous. When they look, they just take a quick look, like not even 2 seconds. They can tell you height, weight, eye color, everything. They're good like that. The man will be looking and drooling. Oh, man, their tongue hanging out. You know, right? Until they get whacked upside the head, right? But we have to control the sin. And lust is the same sin as adultery. Because you start looking at someone in your heart, you're like, oh, man, I want that. That's adultery. If you're a married man or a married woman. So be mindful. The Apostle Paul said, when we are raised to life with Christ Jesus, we are dead to sin. Or we're no longer a slave to sin. We are now alive in Christ Jesus. And I love that sound, alive, vibrant, excited, positive. I don't want nothing dead around me. If someone's attitude is dead, I don't want to be around them. I know I'm not the only one. We all have someone in our lives that we know is just glued every time you talk to them. Praise the Lord, how are you doing? I'm just here living. It's a good day today, if you say so. Well, you wake up on the wrong side of the bed again today? Make you want to just get off the phone. You know, my wife got off the phone with someone on there. She's like, okay, might as well just die right now. This person has zapped all my energy. And you feel that as you're like, goodness, I'm done. You know, you don't want to be around someone like that. But you want to be around someone that's always going to help lift your spirit. You know, people call my phone, and this actually happened to me. They're like, why you answer the phone? I said, praise the Lord. They said, man, I wanted to hear your voicemail. If you ever call my phone, my voicemail said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. I got total strangers calling me. I got telemarketers calling me, trying to hear my voice. I'm like, what in the world? It is crazy. But it's good to lift someone's spirit, even with a voicemail. You know, because I've heard some voicemail out there that says, I don't know why you're calling me, but if you're a bill collector, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Oh, goodness. All right. Let's get back to this. Verse 12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Now, we have a whole bunch of things with our body. We got hands, feet, mouth, all that stuff. But today, I want to talk about one of the smallest part of our body, the tongue. the tongue that cut like a knife on a sword. Let's go to Ephesians 4 real quick. Ephesians 4, before I give you a second key point, let's go to Ephesians 4. Somebody's going to get something from this today. Ephesians 4, let's start in 25, because it starts with the tongue. What does it say in verse 25 of Ephesians 4? Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all of the same body. And don't sin, by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. So when you get really angry, the devil will grab you by the ankle and drag you in the mud. And you're dirty and filthy and smelly. Not good. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Now, verse 9 is the main reason why we came here. So please, please, please pay close attention. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. An encouragement? Let everything we say be good? But I love to cuss people out. That's the problem. We need to think about the things we say before saying it, and don't just think about it after it's said. A wise person considers the outcome, the after effect. The simpleton just do whatever and then pay the consequences. You see the difference? Instead of thinking about the consequences, the simpleton is going to pay the consequences. One of the things that got me back in the day to learn better self-control is this guy I was listening to his interview just did 10 years in prison. And he said he stabbed his best friend at a meeting. Him and his best friend went on a double date, and his best friend was talking to him as if he's not a gangster, saying like he's weak, trying to show him up in front of the girls. Thank you, son. And what happened was, because his friend was trying to show him up in front of the girls, he said, man, chill. And he's like, man, you ain't no gangster. And he took the butter knife and stabbed him just to prove that he was a gangster. He didn't die, but the prosecutor charged him for attempted murder, or with attempted murder. And he did 10 years. Even though his friend said, no, I provoked him, I'm not pressing charges, the prosecution still pushed, and he did 10 years. And what touched my heart, and I'll never forget it, he said, no, if I had taken 10 seconds to think about what I'm about to do and what the consequences would be, I wouldn't have done it. And so I've learned from many years ago to think about things before saying it and think about things before doing it. We got to ask ourselves, what do we have to gain versus what do we have to lose? I mean, I'm married for 21 years. And sometimes, you know, my wife and I may disagree on something. But out of love, we have to agree to disagree. So even though I may see things different, I'm not just going to dump everything on her and say, oh, you better be this way. It's my way or the highway. Because that's not what love is all about. Especially for men, when you love your wife, sometimes we have to accept wrong even though we're right. It's the way it is. That's what love does. I know some guys that so much in their feelings and everything is all about them. And I said, dude, that's not going to help you. Stop telling your wife hurtful things just so you can feel better. Choose your words carefully. That's what will get a relationship healthy. And wives, if your husband is not seeing things eye to eye, don't call him names. Don't disrespect a man in his own house. That's the worst thing a woman can do to a man. Because it's so important to a man to have respect that if he don't feel respected, everything breaks down mentally. For a woman, she needs to feel secure. Security is the biggest thing for her. So don't say things to her to make her security feel like it's been breached. Words. And that's just with the couples. How about the children? Don't ever look at your son or your daughter and say, "You're so stupid. Why?" No, don't speak that over their lives. Even if they did something stupid, don't call them stupid. Tell them, "Don't do that again. You can do better. You're smarter than that." You know, encouraging words, uplifting words. It will make all the difference in your life. Trust me on that one. Your key point, well, before your key point, I got to share one more thing. Go to Matthew 12 real quick. Matthew 12 before I give you a key point number two. Matthew 12, verse 36. I have got to show you this. This helped me many years ago, and I'm sure it will help someone today. Matthew 12, verse 36. Jesus speaking, he says, "And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." And that's why I don't cuss. This is serious business. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Oh, man, take it serious. Your key point number two, write this down. It's on your screen, going to be up there. Don't allow your tongue that if it's bitten will swell to turn around and bite you and send you to hell. Don't allow your tongue that if it's bitten will swell to turn around and bite you and send you to hell. Yes, your tongue can bite you. You think only your teeth can bite? Your tongue bite more vicious than the teeth. Your tongue is one of the smallest body parts, but one of the most deadly, my friends. Use it to glorify God, not to curse mankind. Let's go back to Romans 6 when you finish writing that down. Back to Romans 6. Hallelujah, Jesus. Romans 6, verse 14. "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living." Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using illustrations of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. Anybody ashamed of some things that we used to do? Oh, man, we can write a list. When you think that you had a bad past and you hear someone else like, "Man, I wasn't that bad after all." Verse 22. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Glory be to God. It's good when we're free from sin. It's good when we are free from sin. My friends, the enemy wants to keep us in slavery. Slavery to sin is a restriction of our blessing. When we are kicking sin to the curb, God gets the glory. And when God is glorified, we will be satisfied. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 8 real quick, and then I'll give you a key point number 3. I'll show you what Jesus has to say. John chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 8. Go to verse 34. Hallelujah, Jesus. About the slavery to sin. Let me just wrap this up real quick with the slavery to sin. All right. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin, right? A slave, he says, is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free. Free indeed. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why am I excited about that? Because it doesn't matter what our past looked like. We can get set free and join God's royal family. To be a royal priesthood is where it's at, my friend. If you're not, that means you need to repent, which leads us to our third key point regarding repent. Due to your sinful actions, you have been enslaved in spiritual detention. So repent and accept Jesus fast so you can escape spiritual incarceration. Due to your sinful actions, and I want you to listen to me very carefully, guys, and take your time with this and make sure you analyze the things the Spirit of God is saying. Because some people are in detention right now. And God wants you to be free from that. Because your detention right now will land you in incarceration later, where you can't escape. It's not a life sentence. It will be an eternal life sentence. And I don't want that for you. So please, please take note and think about what the Spirit of God is saying right now. Due to your sinful actions, you have been enslaved in spiritual detention. So repent and accept Jesus fast. You may be putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, but I'm telling you, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. And why does he want you to repent and accept him fast? So you can escape spiritual incarceration. Spiritual incarceration, my friend, is when someone dies without true salvation and they end up in a place called a lake of fire. First, you would go to hell until the judgment in Revelation 20. And then everyone who was in hell go to the lake of fire. I don't want that for you guys. It's embarrassing and sad for me, for anyone who knows me and knows my teaching, to end up in hell. Because I'm the type of pastor that teach the entire Bible. Some pastors don't even talk about hell. They say, oh, I don't want to talk about that. It scares the fish away. And I tell them, I don't see people as fish. I see them as brothers and sisters that I want to spend forever with. And they're like, oh, Trevor, you're too radical. This is pastors telling me this. So I know there's some pastors out there that tiptoe around certain things and make you feel nice and cushy. If I want to feel nice and cushy, I go eat some Frosted Flakes. But you come to church to hear a word, you're going to hear a word. And the truth is, we can't keep playing around in spiritual detention and end up in spiritual incarceration where it's an eternal life sentence. That is not good. So it's time to wake up, smell the roses before somebody else smells some carnation at your funeral. That's why they don't like me. I love them, though. One thing they can't say, that this pastor watered on anything. In case you're thinking that you're exempt from this sin thing, Romans 3:23 say, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And that all includes you and I. But Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So, if someone is sinning and they don't want to rectify it, then they're going to have to pay in the end dearly. But if you repent, you can be set free and join God's royal family. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look a little bit more about this royalty. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start in verse 4. We'll talk a little bit more about our royal priesthood here. "You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests through the mediation of Jesus Christ. You offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor. And anyone who trusts in him, the Lord Jesus, will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust in him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stones that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he's the one that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble, why? Because they do not obey God's word. People want to do their own thing. People think they're okay. I'm all right, man, you know. People think I'm a good person. No. Luke 16, verse 19, you see the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man was a good person, but guess what? He still ended up in hell. He was doing good. He was feeding Lazarus scraps from his table. He was a good person, but being a good person don't save you. You have to repent of your sins, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and do your best to live for him. That's how we get to heaven. But Jesus died and he paid the price for us. The hard part is done. The heavy lifting is done. All we got to do is reap the benefits. And some people still can't do that. He says this, "But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people." Let me hear somebody say, "That's me," if you know you're born again. Oh, that was weak. Gotta pray harder. "You're a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession." That's me. "As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." Once you had no identity, remember I told you earlier, if you don't have identity, you don't know how to act, right? He says, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Let me hear somebody say, "That's me." Getting a little better. "Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy." Say, thank God. If it wasn't for his mercy, if it wasn't for his grace, our lives would be a disgrace. That wouldn't be good at all. I've seen so many people living in disgrace right now, mad walking on the streets from their drug abuse, alcohol abuse. Guys who used to be married and family and doing good, out there running around, trying to be a 60-year-old player, trying to pick up people with a big old gold chain hanging on like he's Mr. T Jr. I said, what's wrong with you, man? Oh, man, it didn't work out with my wife. What happened? Oh, well, you couldn't stay with one woman. Well, you know, man, I'm a man, man. I said, no, you're stupid. Now, someone that's doing certain things like that, grown men ought to do better, you'll tell them, look, to your face, that's stupidity. What you need to do is repent and ask Jesus to help you. Oh, man, you know I'm not into the church, Trevor, man. Why are you always picking on? I'm not picking on you. I'm actually trying to help you. And I'm not telling them about being in the church 24-7. I'm telling you about being the church 24-7. Oh, but I didn't say attend church every day. I said be the church. That's the big difference. So when we leave the four walls of the building and we go outside, we're around our friends, they will still see Jesus in us. When we talk with wisdom because God gives wisdom. The world gives you understanding of things, but the world cannot give us wisdom. Only God can. Wisdom makes us wise. Anybody want to be wise? Well, get Christ Jesus and actually listen to what he's saying. So that when you speak, wisdom will come flowing from your mouth and you won't sound ridiculous. These young kids running around in Miami, shooting innocent people. Just shooting up a crowd. Somebody convinced them that that was okay. And that will make you cool. Not realizing that that makes them a fool. But your company will determine the things you do. Bad company corrupts good morals. That's why hanging out with people that love God, people that's reading the word, praying, and talking about godly things will help us stay godly and do more godly things because of God's mercy. When we can identify ourselves with Christ Jesus, everything changes for the better. Your key point number four. We who follow Jesus are identified as royal priesthood. So we should no longer hang out in the dragons or the beast hood. I love it. We who follow Jesus are identified as royal priesthood. So we should no longer hang out in the dragons or the beast hood. I remember back in the day, Friday night, Saturday night, sometimes even Sunday night, I'm up in the club doing my rubber dub. That's the beast hood. When I gave my life to Jesus, my party lifestyle changed to a different one. I still party, but no, it's holy. I'll dance in church. Yeah. Remember them things, the Jamaican thing where you have to lift the leg up. Jamaicans can't just dance and keep their foot. No, we got to lift our foot up. Yeah. Pastor Mike got some good skanks. Him and Deacon Steve be getting down. He'll show you how it's done. And Brother Colin, don't play no games. He'll dance all day. But the thing is this, it's good to dance, but keep it holy. You don't have to be doing certain things that ain't supposed to be done. If Jesus ain't with you doing it, chances are you shouldn't be doing it. Because if you know Jesus ain't going to be participating in your activity, that means the devil is going to be participating in that activity. So you got to choose the things that you do. Make sense or make sense? I'm just trying to help. So, you know, I remember one time when I just got saved. I went to a house party, and they were doing some type of dancing in there. And I said, you know what, man? This ain't really where I need to be. In a house party. It wasn't even a club. It was a house party. And I'm like, you know, the thing is, we have to be smart, you know, and be judgmental about ourselves and the things that we're doing. Because once we judge ourselves, we won't come into judgment in a negative fashion. Okay? Let's be smart. Even in the conversations we're having with friends, sometimes it gets a little, you know, past PG-13 and getting into the R-rated conversation. You got to say, okay, it's a little bit too raunchy for me. I don't really want to hear that because it's going to go against my spirit, man. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we want him to feel welcome in us at all times. We don't want the Holy Spirit to be in us putting on earplugs. Not good. He won't be putting on earplugs, though. He'll just be not there. He'll just step aside. And here's my proof. When Jesus took on all the sins of the world, right, by the nails in his hands and his feet, he took on all the sins of the world, all our filth, he took on to himself. God's Holy Spirit had to withdraw from Jesus. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the first time in his existence that he was separated from the Father in his spirit because of the sins of mankind. He didn't say that because he got nailed in his hand. He knew he was going to die. He knew what he was going to do. But he didn't know he had to die without the Father's presence. And that's why he had to go to hell when he died, because the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows the direction to heaven. So when Jesus died, he had to go down to hell. He went to hell so you and I don't have to go there. Hallelujah, Jesus. And he took the keys from that demon and said, I control who goes here now. People who follow me, they're not going. People who disobey me, that's where they're going. He didn't create hell for human beings. Hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels who disobeyed God and followed Satan. But since people want to follow Satan's ways, they get the same fate. But if we follow God's way and the Lord Jesus Christ, where are we going? Heaven. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let me hear somebody say, I got my mansion. You better say it like you know it. Royalty, my friends. Keep your crown secure. Please keep your crown secure. Go with me to Revelation 3. We're almost done here. Revelation 3. Keep your crown secure. This is what Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia in verse 7. Hallelujah, Jesus. He says this. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. See what I'm just talking about? Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you're the ones I love. Why? Because you have obeyed my command to persevere. I will protect you from that great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. What is that? That means we're going to be raptured out of here. We're going to be caught up to meet Jesus in the air and miss the terrible time when the Antichrist for 7 years is going to dominate this earth. Then he says this in verse 11, something to encourage us all. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. Let me tell you something. I don't care what we have to do to keep our crown on our head. If we have to tie it with a rope, if we have to use duct tape, keep your crown, my friends. Don't allow the devil to steal your salvation like that. Oh, but I'm saved. You know, I got baptized. I said the prayer and, you know, I'm good. And then you get on cruise control. Then you get lackadaisical. Then you start talking the things you're not supposed to talk, watching what you're not supposed to be watching, doing what you're not supposed to be doing, and you gradually drift into a reprobate mindset where you think that the way you're living is okay when it's not. And your life is decaying, 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 and you're on your way to hell, don't even realize it. And the devil is like, I got you right where I want you. It's time to repent from that. Be set free from the slavery to sin and regain your royal priesthood status. It's time. See, the unsaved is welcome to join royalty today. The unsaved. Those who haven't totally dedicated their life to God. Everyone is welcome to join in the royal priesthood today. How easy is it? Real easy. Let me show you something in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says this. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Oh, hallelujah. So you have to open your mouth and openly declare that you are receiving salvation. Why is it so important? Let me show you what David says, something that blessed my heart. And it was in the Bible reading this morning, and the Spirit of God permit me to add it to the teaching for today, because the sermon was already done. And he said, you can add that in there, Trevor, because I know you like it. I said, thank you, Lord, because I love it. In Psalm 66, look at verse 18 through 20. It says this, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. So my friends, if you really want God to hear your prayer, repent, confess your sins to him, and say, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. I need to fix my health. Fix my marriage, fix my bad children, fix my business, fix whatever. Then now you can go and make petition to the Lord. Why should he even listen to you if you're not even listening to him and his word? Remember his word says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then everything else will be added. What people want, they want everything fixed, everything added, everything open for them. They want all the blessings and then say, I may talk to you later, God. God is not a puppet. He's not a genie. And he does not have to give in to our ways of doing things because his ways are supreme. And it is a standard of life. We can either accept it or reject it. But that's what he's offering. Amen? So today, royalty. Everyone is invited to be royalty. You may be listening on YouTube or the radio, wherever you are. This goes out to everyone hearing the sound of my voice as we pray. Don't delay. All you have is right now. Tomorrow is not guaranteed to anyone. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your word going forth. We thank you for the invite to reach the lost today. Those who don't even realize that they're on a downward spiral. And you want to lift them up. You want to save them, listen to their prayers, and help them with all their challenges. You are a good God. And you are worthy to be praised. If you never give us anything else, because we have our mouth to speak, we should still praise you because of who you are. You are worthy. And I ask right now that you would touch every heart supernaturally. Everyone that needs to repent of their sins, give them a supernatural racing, speeding heartbeat right now as an indication that you're calling them to repent and be a part of our royal family. Touch them now, Father. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you're thinking about these things, like we talked about earlier, to think about things first and then do it, or not do it. If you think that something bad. But right now, we have nothing bad going on. This is the best thing. The most important decision we can ever make in our lives is to honor Christ by receiving Him. If that's you and you're here today and you want to confess your sins just like David did and got his prayers answered, you can put your hand up because I would love to pray with you. I don't want anyone to leave the same way they came, but I want everyone to be forever changed for the better. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to lead in the prayer, and God is going to listen to your hearts. And if your heart is willingly accepting Jesus to come in, that's what He will do. But He's not impressed with lip service, but He is impressed with heart service. So repeat after me. Say, Lord God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But today, Lord, I repent of all my sins. And I turn to You. Wash me clean and make me new. Thank You, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me and for being raised on the third day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and stay with me. From this day forward, I am Yours. And I thank You, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To God be the glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. To God be the glory. Deacon Kelvin, did we get the elements? Today is Communion Sunday. Yeah, I know. Somebody's tricked because I'm not wearing my robe. But you know, right? It never changes. So, the way of communion works, for those who are saved, you take communion. For those who know in their heart that they're not going to behave, just don't take it. Simple. Ain't nobody going to be mad at you. Nobody's going to point no finger at you. It's between you and God. Because the people who take the communion in an unworthy manner bring a curse on themselves. So don't do that. It's for people who are saved. I didn't say people who are perfect. People who are saved, who actually repented of their sins, and they're trying to walk the right walk. Okay? Because if I said only perfect people, none of us can take it. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I feel good knowing that the Spirit of God had His way. And when you get the communion elements, what you do, we don't do it like as a church, everybody eat the same time, everybody drink the same time. I don't do that. It's a personal thing between you and God to commemorate what He did for us over 2,000 years ago. So what we do is, everyone pray first. Thank you, man of God. Pray, and after you pray, then you eat the wafer, which represents the body of Jesus. And then you drink the juice that represents His blood. That's what we do. But first we ask God to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and help us to do good. All right? Take that serious. Hallelujah, Jesus. So I'm going to the Lord in prayer for myself. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our leaders are coming around with baskets so you can throw your empty containers in there. And real quick, I know we're a little bit past time, but we do here at Jesus Team, we anoint our people for power. So, come on, Deacon. Thank you, sir. Anyone that wants to be anointed for power, please stand to your feet, and leaders will come around and anoint you. James tells us that anyone who's even feeling sick, let them call for the elders of the church. We can anoint them and pray for them. So whatever it is, I believe by faith, God will do something spectacular for you. Let me get that. Thank you, Lord. At the house, remember, I want the head of the household to anoint yourself and anoint your family. It's our responsibility as head of the household. Men need to start being spiritual head of the household and stop allowing the wife to have to take up that mantle. Just stand up. All right, come this way. Anoint my family. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need this anointing to take us through the week. because the enemy's attacks are severe. With God, we will survive.